ओम हरि ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सी वेन यू लुक एट योरसेल्फ एज the knower with reference to this world and its entire universe is an object of your knowledge. It means you are the knower, the subject of knowledge. Therefore, subject is distinct from, different from the object. Subject never becomes the object, object can never become the subject. Subject of knowledge. The known object can never become the subject of knowledge. The subject never becomes the object of knowledge. Like what? Illuminator light can never become the illumined, never be illumined by the opaque things. Opaque thing can never become the illuminator. Because always opaque thing is dependent on the very illuminator to come to light. So it will ever be, the opaque thing will ever be the illumined object of illumination. With reference to opaque thing, light will be ever the illuminator. Ever illuminated will be the light. Similarly here, with reference to this entire inert, objective, known universe, the knower is always the reality obtaining in the form of consciousness. There is no knower. And the known objective universe can never become the knower of the consciousness. Consciousness can never become the object of knowledge. So that's why Shastram helps you arrive at, understand what consciousness is. You are not arriving at consciousness as an object of knowledge, but you are arriving at consciousness as the truth of the very subject. Notice. Therefore here, so when you see, this is a sort of analysis, distinguishing the self from the non-self and seeing what the self is. Once having arrived at what the self is, you see what the self is not. So here, and this seeing what the self is not helps you negate not only the objects external to the body, even the objects obtaining the form of your own body minus complex gets negated as an object of knowledge, and which is the, that's why it's said to be, it's a commentary upon the expression pancha kosha atigaha. So we saw here, नाहं देहो न च प्राणो नेन्द्रियाणि तथैव च न मनोहं न बुद्धिश्च नैव चित्तमहङ्कृतिः नाहं पृथ्वी न सलिलम् न च वह्निस्तथानिलः न चाकाशो न शब्दश्च न च स्पर्शस्तथा रसः. So first we saw how the substance of the substantive I obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, pure knowledge, which is the very existence and which is of the nature of limitlessness, is distinct from everything that is known. This everything that is known means what? The anything known and everything known is inert object of, inert material object of knowledge. So it starts from the outermost layer of personality called Deha, then moves on to Prana, then sense powers, then mind, then intellect, then memory, even the first and the foremost of the manifestations obtaining in a thought in terms of ahankaraha, ahankritihi, is also object of knowledge. Is it clear? Is also object of knowledge. There afterwards, having negated even the aham, now these are the aspects which constitute the individual. What is an individual? An individual human being means what? You take a car, you say, ask what is car. You will draw a car with the steering, with the things, with the wheels, with the engine, everything you draw. What's a car? So, but many spare parts put together intelligently is a car. You take all the spare parts, steering, seats, and then wheels, and then everything, put them in a garage as a heap. Will it serve the purpose of a car? All the spare parts are there. Not even one part is missing. But they are not put together intelligently. Means, you can say what? In my garage, I have all four wheels, the steering is there, doors are there, seats are there, engine is there, everything is there. I can take and fix them and I can drive. But if you show the heap of things in the garage, you can't call it a car. Isn't it? But without all those spare parts, will there be a car? What is a car? Car has no, car is a non-substantial, isn't it? Form, indicated by a word car. The word car is a word indicating a given form which consists of many spare parts put together. You will remove, you just show the steering. Is it a car? No. Remove it. Door, then is it a car? No. Because for the meaning of the word car is what? Not a steering. Is it a car? Show the wheels. Is it a car? No. Remove the wheels. It is a wheel. Remove wheel separately because the wheel is the meaning of the word wheel, not a car. Remove all the parts. Where is the car? Car will disappear. Because there are many spare parts, you know, which each part has its own name. All these spare parts put together form the car. Understand? Similarly, human being also is what? Every human individual also, many aspects, gross matter, subtle matter, everything put together intelligently is a human form. But this whole beautiful form, the car can be there, okay, already car is ready, but without the driver being there, car will stand remain there itself. It will not move, even though it is perfectly made. Similarly here, this physical, gross physical body, which is an abode of enjoyment, bhoga ayatanam is an abode of enjoyment. The physical body one must have for a person to be able to have something called experience, enjoyment. Without physical body, experience, enjoyment is not possible. That's why it's called abode of enjoyment, bhoga ayatanam, which is an object of knowledge. This body itself what has so many aspects: skin, flesh, muscles, tissues, bones, bone marrow, nerves. Isn't it? Even the gross physical body has so many things. So many things there. And every aspect of associated with the body is an object of knowledge. And if you take all the physical, gross physical parts, even if you remove the skin also, flesh, inside also what? Well padded. the muscles and flesh and bones as a skeleton is a well padded. There is a shield for this very delicate organs called heart, lung, kidneys, bile and all of intestines. They are all, isn't it? They are all physical parts. That is when we say Dehaha. Na aham dehaha. This consciousness implied by the term Atma is not the deha, distinct from the body, distinct from the physiological functions, pranas, distinct from all the subtle powers which are not part of the physical gross body, which are subtle powers indwelling the gross body. They are also distinct from the sense powers, powers of organs of actions. Na indriyani, naham manaha. Not only the sense powers, much subtler, even the mind which is behind the sense powers. What is subtler than the sense power is what? The mind, thoughts, obtaining, some thoughts which form the mind, subtler than the sense powers, and not even the mind. Again, what is subtler than the thoughts, the intellect? There are also thoughts only, not even the intellect. Because thoughts for which form the intellect also are objects of knowledge. Consciousness is distinct from even the thoughts which form the mind, thoughts which form the intellect. Consciousness is distinct from the thoughts which form the memory. And consciousness is definitely distinct from the first and the foremost and the highest of the manifestations of knowledge, obtaining in human thought in terms of I am, which is called Ahankritihi. Because it's also object of knowledge. This is all human being, okay? Manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha form the antahkaranam. Then we have subtle aspects. Pancha karma indriyani, pancha jnana indriyani, pancha pranaha. Then we have the gross body. All these subtle body, gross body, all of them constitute the individual. And there, what is most important thing? Atma. What is Atma? This abstract, all pervasive means what? Which pervades time, which pervades space. Only then you can say all pervasive. All pervasive means which pervades time and space, thereby which pervades all the forms, names and functions which exist in the realm of time and space. There is nothing which is not pervaded by consciousness. Therefore, because it's all pervasive, that reality, abstract, subtlest, there's nothing which is subtler than consciousness. Consciousness is the subtlest reality, abstract reality, most abstract reality, all pervasive. But therefore, being all pervasive, it obtains as the innermost essence of every being. It is implied by the term Atma. So where is Atma now? Inside the body or outside the body? Where is water? Inside the wave or outside the wave? Where is the water? Inside the wave or outside the wave? Water is neither inside the wave nor outside the wave. Waves are in the water. First sentence. What is the correct sentence? All the waves are water. The entire ocean is water. Similarly, all the forms are one formless reality consciousness. All the inert, non-substantial forms, names and functions all have consciousness as the only substance. So many forms, gross forms, subtle forms, innumerable, that's why innumerable, countless forms. Essentially reducible to consciousness. Understand? That's why consciousness, if you ask, where is consciousness? Where is Atma? Atma is inside or outside? Swamiji never liked the expression, see within. He never liked people, because it's very common expression. People like it. See, when they say what they, when they say see within, what they mean is, okay, real Atma is available for recognition as the truth of I, which is, which means truth of I means I is the first, the foremost of the thoughts which form the mind, and mind is what? In the standpoint of body and sense organs, mind is inside. Therefore, they say that, but they don't mean, they don't understand what they mean by that. They also try to triangle, put on dot in the middle. Do not even understand. In fact, Atma is Shatam, Atma is neither inside you. When you don't even know what you are, who you are, how can you say inside you? You should know this is the room, no? Only then you can say what? Inside the room, outside the room. When you don't even know what is room, we simply say inside, what does it mean? Which inside of what? Inside you. See within you. Which is you? That is why Atma is not inside you, outside of you. Atma is you. Okay? You are Atma. You are Atma means Tat Tvam Asi. That thou art, that reality, all pervasive, abstract, subtlest reality, obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, pure knowledge, implied by the term Brahma or Atma, is what? You are that reality. Means you are equated to that reality, you are that. So you should say what? Aham Tat. Soham. Okay? You say Aham Saha. Understand? Soham. Saha Aham. Saha Atma Ahamasmi. Tad Brahma Ahamasmi. Neither inside you nor you, outside you, you are that. Therefore, here, understand. That's why I say obtaining as the innermost essence of every being means just as what is the innermost reality of every wave, consciousness is the subtlest innermost essence of every being. But where is it available for recognition? How are you going to recognize it? For which you have to only first search for I, distinguish this I, understand this I being distinct, different from everything else, then you can see where does this I come from, then you can't help stumbling upon the truth. That's how you arrive at it. Now having arrived at it, you can say what? Na aham dehaha, na cha pranaha, nendriyani, na indriyani. Say, you negate entire body, mind, sense complex. You negate as object of knowledge. Now, anything negate as object of knowledge is what? Part of the objective universe. Your own body is part of the objective universe, the whole. Your own mind is part of the objective universe, the whole. See, very difficult to see the mind as an object, part of the objective universe. How you see this mic and this bed and this thing, object of knowledge, you must be able to include the objective universe. I always say in my class, objective universe inclusive of your dear body, mind, sense complex. Because the mind pervades only, mind has still limitation. Mind is associated only with unto this body. That is why, suppose a mosquito comes and bites him, I don't feel the pain. Who is feeling the pain there? This mind, isn't it? This knowledge of the pain of being bitten by mosquito is there in the this mind, because this mind has limitation only up to this. Therefore, his mosquito comes and he bites him. Let him bite. It must to bite him. It doesn't, because there is no knowledge or the experience of the pain caused by pain of being bitten by the mosquito. That doesn't mean this is, that's why we have feeling this aham. Because it's very close, isn't it? This is the problem. Actually speaking, your own physical body is part of the objective universe. It is as, it is alive, no doubt. It is as inert as any other object here. Similarly, your sense powers are as inert as any other object in the world. Your powers of organs of actions are as inert as any other object in the world. Your physiological functions, my God, without which no energy is possible, no life is possible, but still it has its own importance. We don't deny the importance, but still it is as inert as any other object in the world. And your mind, all the emotions give so much of importance. The fundamental problem of sense of being small, sense of being inadequate, sense of insecurity centered on I, you know, results in lots of other problems. You are drowned in your, you remain drowned in your emotions, and then you're so keeping long face or upset, pulling long face and all that. What I'm saying, they're completely, you lost, in fact, every emotion, the pain, pleasure, loss, gain, success, victory, defeat, all by the pairs of opposites you go through. Now, fear, jealousy, hatred, anger, etc. Everything here is a subtle material phenomenon, imperceptibly subtle material phenomenon, obtaining in the form of thought, is also as inert as any other external object. Because it's object of knowledge. Why it is inert? It is object, finished. Yadrishyam tat jadam. Yadrishyam tat jadam. Being an object, it is of the nature of inertness. It's very subtle. You must be listening again and again and again to really to see the fact of how anything known is inert. And even the knowledge of, we say knowledge, manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the thought is also what? Object of knowledge. Therefore, it is also inert, subtle matter. And the source of manifestation alone is pure knowledge, pure consciousness. And that consciousness is implied by the term Atma. Therefore, Aham Atma, Aham Brahma, Asmi, Na Aham Deha, means I, the consciousness, am not the body, mind, sense organs. Na Manaha, Na Buddhihi, Naiva Chittam Aham Kritihi. The whole individual human body, mind, sense complex is negated as non-self, anatma. You see, everything is negated as anatma, non-self. What are you? You already negated the body, mind, sense complex as anatma, non-self, as an object of knowledge, as a non-self. What is a self? What are you then? Oh my God. Then where can you place I? Where can you place the I? See, gradually. That is why this shifting the I sense, you start from the physical body. Because we don't have anything external to the physical body, you don't have I sense on the part of anything external to the physical body. I am the bed, I am this table, cot, I am the table. You never say that. I sense begins where? Where do you have strong I sense rooted? From this physical body, isn't it? So that there onwards it starts. It's that's why the Panchakosha Prakriya itself is like on journey. It's like a climb, not scaling the mountain. It's like a climbing onto the mountain. You're climbing. And then it's very difficult, okay? This journey is very difficult, journey. And you first climb onto the body. And you first see what is this body. And body is an object of knowledge. Object of knowledge, therefore it is of the nature of inertness. It does nothing of this body has the knowledge of existence of its own. This body, say, I am the body. Is there I sense on the part of the body? Tell me. Is there I sense on the part of the body? That's enough. Okay? It is inert. Does the body have any capacity to reveal its existence by itself? No. It enjoys existence only when you see it, only when you know it. And what is it made of? What is everything? You can say elements first. Finally, it can be reduced to elements. Finally, every physical body can be reduced to five elements only. That is why death is called what? Disintegration of the body. Death is nothing but disintegration of the physical body, which is called panchatvam. Say? Panchatvam. Panchatva praptihi. There's a nice way of saying. Somebody died. We don't say that. We say beautifully what? It's a nice, no? It's a nice expression. Panchatva praptihi. Here, panchatvam praptavan. Means what? You know? We never say somebody died. He has attained, no? The greatest padavi. Paramapadam. Panchatva praptihi means the five elements get disintegrated and join their corresponding elements, which means the form will collapse completely. You cannot search for this form anymore. You can see some ashes, which means elemental, only elemental. We have to see the fact again and again. It's only elemental, inert matter, only reducible to elements. Nothing more than this. But now it's beautiful, so intelligently put together. Then you see what is that next. Then from there, start your journey again, relaxed. And move on to next pranas. And you understand pranas also nothing but all functions. They move on to sense powers. But also again what? Sattvic aspects of the elements. Alone the sense purpose. Tamasic aspect of the elements. Sattvic aspect of elements. Then you see understand rajasic aspect of elements. Organs of actions. Then you move on again. Thoughts. Mind. Sattvic aspect of elements again. Mind also is subtle matter. Even including Ahamasmi is what? Mind only. Now what else is there to negate? Tell me. You come up to starting from body, moving on to pranas, from pranas to sense powers, then first powers and the powers of organs of actions, then sense powers, then mind, then intellect, then memory, then ahankritihi. Ahankriti also you have to, whether you like it or not, you have to negate it as an object of knowledge. Because it is an object of knowledge. Subtle thought, phenomenon, obtaining in him of a thought. What is there for you to negate now? The whole human body, mind, sense complex has been negated as a non-self. So you have already shifted the I sense from everywhere, cognitively, intellectually, thoughtfully, using your reasoning. You are not simply mechanically shifted this I sense. Now he is hanging. That is why sometimes knowledge is very frightening for immature people. That's why it's not taught for everybody. Vedanta is not given to people, everybody, if they're not ready for it. The fact is, there's no I, there's no knower other than abstract, subtlest, all-pervasive reality, which you arrive at in terms of its nature of knowing as pure knowledge, pure consciousness. It's implied by the term Atma. Understand? Every individual is what? Consciousness plus. Okay? Sthula, Sukshma, Karana, Sharirani. Or five layers of personality plus Atma. The person and the personality. The person is one and so many personalities. Is it clear? We have come until here and later on. And that Atma, now you already, is it pervades the consciousness. Atma, implementum Atma, pervades the body, mind, sense complex. It is not limited by the peripheries, the boundaries of body, mind, sense complex. And even when the body falls apart and consciousness continues, when the body dies, consciousness continues to survive. But the body, mind, sense complex happens to be the manifesting medium. Okay? It is not available for recognition. Because consciousness is not available for recognition, because pure consciousness, we mistake the consciousness for non-existence. We mistake it. Is it clear? Okay. Now we'll continue here. So now we are moving on. So this Atma, all-pervasive Atma, not any of the elements also. We saw that not only the elements, not even the attributes belonging to the elements also. Yes, the fivefold objects of perception. Not only the what the objects available for knowledge as the object, as individual own individual body mind sense complex, even the objects external to the body mind sense complex, in terms of the sound, form, color, taste, touch, etc. Therefore, he says here, Naham prithvi na salilam, na cha vannistathanilah, na cha akasho na shabdascha, na cha sparshastatharasah. So, na aham prithvi, na salilam, na cha vannihi, tatha anilaha. So, prithvi, prithvi, see, you are getting a th, v together, ne? Thvi, prithvi, not earth, the all pervasive reality, Atma, the consciousness is not the prithvi, which means I, the consciousness, am not the earth, not the water, not the fire, not even the air, not even the space. What am I then? I am the very source. I am the very existence. I, the consciousness. I, the knower, am consciousness. I, the consciousness, am the very source, very existence of space, existence of earth, existence of water, existence of fire, existence of air. When I say I, the consciousness, and the existence of all the elements, means there is no element other than consciousness, myself. Is it clear? Other than I, the consciousness, not myself, other than I, the consciousness. Is it clear? You should nod your head, otherwise I will. Okay. Then na shabdaha. Aham na shabdaha. What is a sound? Sound is object of knowledge. Sound is a form, a sound is an object obtaining in a given form, perceptible through the ears. Therefore, I am the knower of the sound. I am the hearer of the sound. So, I, the consciousness, am not the knower, not the hearer, but the hearer, knower, am I. Because without the blessing of the Atma, the function of hearing is not possible. Therefore, what we say, Atma, the consciousness, is not the hearer. But there cannot be, there's no hearer, knower other than consciousness. Is it clear? Therefore we say what? Therefore, na shabdaha, I the consciousness, am not the sound, means the sound is consciousness. Rachas parshaha, what is touch? Touch is an object of knowledge, known through what? The skin, skin perceived through skin, sense of touch perceived through skin. So I, the consciousness, am distinct from this object, distinct from this object, different from the object of touch. But the touch is, there's no such thing called touch outside of consciousness. Therefore, sparshaha tatha rasaha, taste. What is this taste? Taste is an object obtaining in a given form, perceived through the power of taste, obtaining in your tongue, the physical part, golakam, called tongue. Therefore, an opposite. I am the one, I the knower, am. I am the knower of the taste and the knower of the touch, knower of the sound. I am distinct. When you say I am the knower of the touch, means there is no touch, there is no object without the knower. No object of knowledge enjoys existence outside of, independent of, or from the knower consciousness. Naham gandho naropancha,
naropancha,
namayaham nasamsratihi,
namayaham nasamsratihi,
naham gandho naropancha,
naropancha,
namayaham na samsrutih. Namayaham na samsrutih. Sada sakshiswarupatvat. Sada sakshi swarupatvat. Shiva eva asmi kevalah.
Shiva eva asmi kevalah.
Sada sakshi swarupatvat. Shiva eva asmi kevalah.
Sada sakshi
swarupatvat. Shiva eva asmi kevalah. In a reading, you have to read together. How should you read? Sada sakshi. Listen to me. Sada sakshi swarupatvat. Shiva. Swarupatvachiva. Ichchaya. Now just now you learned it, isn't it? Swarupatvachiva. Swarupatvachiva. It's a euphonic combination there, okay? Sandhi. Sada sakshi swarupatvachiva eva asmi kevalah. Sada sakshi swarupatvachiva eva asmi kevalah. Naham Gandho Naropancha.
Naham Gandho Naropancha.
Namayaham Nasamsrutihi.
Namayaham Nasamsrutihi.
Okay, we have covered three objects. Two more objects of knowledge. What are they? The object of perception, that is Gandha, smell. So Gandha, smell, is also another an object obtaining in a given form called a smell, perceived through the sense power, obtaining in your nostril, nose, is also what? An object. Object means inert. No sense object has knowledge of its own. No sense object has consciousness of its own. No sense object has sentiency of its own. No sense object has existence of its own. And like this, now Gandha, smell, also is what? Object perceived through the such sense power obtaining in your physical part called nose. It's called a Ghrana Indriyam. Therefore, which means, and who is the perceiver, knower, experiencer? The one who smells the smell. I, the consciousness, am, I, the knower, am the consciousness, the only perceiver. Which means, consciousness is not the perceiver, but there's no perceiver other than consciousness. There is no hearer other than Atma. The consciousness, there is no seer other than Atma, the consciousness. There is no perceiver other than Atma, the consciousness. There is no knower, experiencer other than consciousness, the Atma. The knower, experiencer of the smell is Atma, the consciousness. Atma the knower? No. Atma is not the knower. Atma is not the perceiver. Atma is not the experiencer. Atma is not the hearer. But there is no hearer, knower, experiencer, perceiver other than the Atma. Okay. Therefore, Atma is Naham Gandha. I the knower am distinct from the known, perceived smell, obtaining in the object, obtaining in the form of smell. Therefore, na aham gandha, na rupam, not form. Form means what? Not form perceptible through eyes. I, the self, am the knower, perceiver, distinct from all the forms which reflect light, which are perceived through the seeing power. I'm not any form which shines in the form of presence of the light, which reflects light. I'm not any form which reflects light, thereby which is perceived through the seeing power. Rupam here is light and all the opaque things which shine in light are perceptible through the seeing power, come under the category of the form. Light and the objects which shine in the presence of the light. Is it clear? That is why seeing power, all opaque things which reflect light, which shine in the presence of the light, and the light, all of them come under the category of this object called form. Okay, perceived through the seeing power. I, the consciousness, am the perceiver. I, the knower, am consciousness. I, the perceiver, am the consciousness, distinct from the perceived object, known object, obtaining in the form of all the forms which shine in the presence of the light and the light. Okay, one more. Therefore, what now? Now you have reduced the entire universe can be reduced to fivefold objects obtaining in five different forms in terms of Rupam, Gandaha, Shabdaha, Sparshaha, Rasaha. Smell, form, sound, touch and taste. What is a huge universe? The whole universe can be reduced to what? Fivefold objects perceived through five different sense organs. Is there a sixth object in the world? No. How much ever you know, how many ever things you know, all the known things belonging to this objective universe can come under the category of one of the five. Therefore, there is no sixth object here. The whole universe can be reduced to only fivefold objects obtaining in five different forms perceived through five different sense organs. There is no sixth object at all. That's why you have only five different sense organs. There's no sixth object here because there's no sixth sense of instrument of knowledge. We have different means of knowledge, okay, based on perception. But for perception means only five sense organs, five instruments of perception. Therefore, there are only five objects of perception. There is a sixth object of perception. Therefore, wherever you go, whichever part of the world you travel, anything you know, what? Everything is only within the realm of fivefold objects. And here, what do we say here? The entire world obtaining in five different forms, from fivefold objects in five different forms, is dependent on perception to become the perceived, to become the known. The world has to be, if the world to become the known, it is dependent on what? Perception. Understand? The world has to become the known means it has to be perceived. For the world to be perceived, for the world to come to light, to shine, to become the known, it must be perceived. For the world to become the perceived, to become the known, for the perception must take place. The perception to take place, these instruments of perception must be functional. For the, understand? That's why in sleep, when you fall asleep, all the sense powers are non-functional. There's no perception. The world is as good as non-existent. Why is the world as good as non-existent when you're fast asleep? Why the world doesn't shine for you? Simply the world loses its status of being existent. It doesn't shine for you because simply it is not known. World is not known means world is not perceived. Please understand, world is not known means world is not perceived. World is not perceived means perception does not take place. Perception does not take place means sense organs, instruments of perception are not functional. Instruments of sense perception are non-functional means they are not backed by the mind. They are not backed by the mind means mind, they are associated with the mind. Which means mind is non-functional. Mind is non-functional means knowledge is not manifest. Knowledge is not manifest means power of knowledge remains unmanifest. Power of knowledge remains unmanifest means knowledge alone is as pure knowledge. Is it clear? So the power of the reality, obtaining in the form of the power of reality, the power of knowledge, power of consciousness, known by the term ajnanam, ignorance, avidya, maya, has to undergo change. The power of knowledge has to become manifest. Power of knowledge is manifest means knowledge is manifest. Knowledge is manifest means mind is functional. Mind is functional means thoughts are there. Thoughts are there means sense powers are associated. Sense powers are associated with the mind. Sense powers are functional. Sense powers are functional means perceptions are possible. Perceptions are possible means objects are perceived. Objects are perceived means world is perceived. World is known. World is known means world shines. World enjoys its status of being existent. World is available for transaction, interaction. Then I am the doer, world, I am the knower, world is the known. The knower known duality is possible. Knower known knowledge, this division also is possible. Everything is possible means what is that which is always there as the source of manifestation, thereby as the substratum, as the truth of everything. Understand? Therefore, I am the knower experiencer. Means what? Even knower also can leave now. I, the self, am all pervasive, abstract, subtlest reality obtaining in the form of consciousness, knowledge implied with the term Atma or Brahma. Is it clear? Therefore, now we say Maya na Maya aham na Maya aham na Maya aham. In the very beginning he used the term ajnanam. Now for a change, Shankar Bhagavatpada assumes that we know all the words. I'm very happy with the text. Na maya aham means what? This I, where can I place this I now? Isn't it? Where can I place the I? What is I? Finally you see there is no I. It is only all pervasive suppressed reality in the form of consciousness. Just the consciousness. And this I, the consciousness, am not even the power of the reality, the power, the manifesting power, is known by the term Maya or Avidya or Ajnanam or Ignorance. Why? Maya is also object of knowledge. Avidya is also object of knowledge. I am the knower. I, the knower, am distinct from the known. And Maya is also known. Maya unmanifest also is known. Maya manifest is what? Knowledge, universe. Isn't it? Maya manifest is universe. Universe unmanifest is Maya. Again, unmanifest power of the reality known by the term is known by the term Maya or Avidya or Ajnanam. And the power of the reality manifest is what? Knowledge. power of reality unmanifest is ignorance. I'll tell you again, power of the reality unmanifest is ignorance, power of reality manifest is knowledge. Power of reality manifest is knowledge means knowledge manifest is the whole cosmos. The universe resolves, universe is unmanifest means power of reality is unmanifest. But where does the power of reality remain unmanifest? Where is the manifest power? The power of reality is manifest is the universe. The power of reality unmanifest is unmanifest or manifest. Where does the power remain? When it becomes manifest, it goes far away or what? Whether the power is manifest, power of reality being manifest also, it doesn't have independent existence outside of the reality. The power of reality unmanifest also doesn't have independent existence outside of the reality. The power of the reality is ever inseparable, manifest or unmanifest. Ever inseparable. That is why this power is personified as the mother. Power is looked upon as said to be the material cause, and the source of the power is looked upon as the intelligent cause. And the intelligent and material causes are the two orders of the only reality, the consciousness. They're ever inseparable. Therefore, they are personified as inseparable husband and wife, Parvati and Shiva. See, this is very important. Naham Maya. Na Aham Maya. Means, why? I, the knower, am distinct from the known means there's no distance at all. The power of the reality, reality is inseparable from the power of reality. Power of reality is inseparable from the reality. But still, I, the reality, am the consciousness. I, the knower, am consciousness. Not at all distant from the power, my own power. But I am not this, I am distinct from the power. How do you know? Maya is known. Maya, in fact, the unmanifest, total unmanifest power of the reality is implied by the term Maya. You can never understand Maya. You know why? When there is reality as pure knowledge and the total power of reality remains unmanifest, it is given the name Maya, then the whole, nothing will be here. So we are all not here. Okay? Nothing will be here. How can you understand Maya? For you to be here, Maya must have already undergone a change. Only when Maya undergoes a change, the manifest universe can be manifest. Only then we all hear as part of the universe. You know what the example Swamiji used to tell? The grandchild. Okay, the grandchild, who is only 5 years old, and he sees the grandparents' wedding album, and he is crying. Everybody is there, why I am not there? How can the grandson be in the photo album of the grandfather's wedding? What does it mean? So, as an individual who wants to know this truth, actually, is here only when the Maya undergoes change, when the universe is manifest. Is it clear? That is why Maya has to be understood only through the model of sleep. Maya has to be understood through analysis of your deep sleep state experience. When you fast asleep, no time, no space, no elements, no elementals, not even your body, mind and complex, the entire objective universe, including your body, mind and complex, is as good as non-existent. No experience is there. You alone are in sleep, not knowing your own existence, not knowing the existence of the world. Then what is? You are and you know. Isn't it? Nothing is there. You do not know you are. You do not know the world is. Is not knowing your own existence, not knowing the existence of the world, is what? Total ignorance. You are, there is total ignorance. Is total ignorance object of experience or not when you are fast asleep? You cannot talk about your experience, that's a different thing. But is there experience or not? If there is no experience at all, you cannot talk about it when you wake up from sleep. Experience of total ignorance is there or not when you are fast asleep. That is why sleep itself is called what? A deep sleep state of mind is a state of experience. That is another state of experience. Always there is some experience. Never you are without any experience. Always there is an experience. There are only three states of experience. Any experience, you say, even samadhi experience, apart from these three states of experience, waking state, dream state, deep sleep state, and some other experience you have in samadhi experience, even twilight experience, any experience you have, please understand, experience is a state of mind. Experience is subject to change. No experience, there's no such a thing called a permanent, beginningless, endless, changeless experience. Experience means has a beginning. Therefore it has an end, undergo change. But deep sleep state is a state of mind, a state of experience. And what is that? What is an object of experience? Yes, experience means there must be an object of experience. Isn't it? There is experience means, of course, there is an experiencer. Without the presence of which, presence of whom, experience is not possible. But experience is there means there must be an object of experience also. Okay, there's experience of blankness of mind. Blankness of mind implies knowledge being not manifest. Knowledge being not manifest means total ignorance. Okay, unmanifest power of reality is known by the term avidyanam. There is ignorance. Total ignorance means what? The knowledge of existence of one's own self being not there. thereby knowledge of the existence of the world also being not there, is what? This total ignorance. Total ignorance is object of experience. In sleep, is it there or not? Now tell me, what is the distance between this total ignorance experienced and the experiencer consciousness? Understand? Understand total ignorance. By understanding what total ignorance is, you have to try to understand Maya. Is it clear now? You cannot say, no, I don't experience total ignorance. What you experience is total ignorance, that you do not know what total ignorance is, that's all. We are experiencing total ignorance every day in sleep. Even now you'll experience total ignorance if you fall asleep. See, whether you listen, you don't listen, you understand, you don't understand, you are pure knowledge. Okay? Whenever you fall asleep, there is total ignorance. Swamiji always says, doesn't matter whether you understand or not, you are knowledge. You are all source of all knowledge. This is a fact. Is it clear? Now, ignorance is object of knowledge. Total ignorance is object of knowledge. The total ignorance is what? Avidya. Ajnanam. And the same total ignorance, what is known by the term, the total ignorance known by the term with reference to an individual. With reference to an individual, the total ignorance is known by the term avidya or ajnanam. The same total ignorance with reference to the total is known by the term maya. Is it clear? And what are you? I am the experiencer. I, the knower, am consciousness. What is the form of consciousness? Therefore, I, the knower, am formless, abstract, all-pervasive, subtlest reality, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, implied by the term Atma or Brahma, am distinct from the known ignorance. Not distant, but distinct. Therefore, this ignorance, what is understood to be ignorance with reference to an individual is Maya with reference to the total. Is it clear? Therefore, I know where I am consciousness, not the Maya. Not the Maya means I am distinct from Maya. I am the source of this power. I am the powerful. I, the consciousness, am the powerful reality, endowed with the power of knowing, which when it is unmanifest is known by the term avidya, ajnana, maya. When it is manifest is known as knowledge, and which shines in the form of everything that is known. I'm just saying what I'm seeing. Promise. Is it clear? Therefore, and this, because inseparability alone, if this power of reality, yesterday also I said this, remains unmanifest always, doesn't become manifest at all. The pure consciousness also would have been what? Non-recognizable. Understand? But for the consciousness to be recognizable, the power of consciousness has to become manifest. And that is why only with the power of consciousness is manifest into the mind, which is otherwise called knowledge, then the whole world shines. Therefore, power of consciousness, power of knowledge is known as the material cause of the universe and is imperceptible, inexplicably subtle power of reality known by the term Maya is personified as Shakti. You saw yesterday all the temples Devi, and the source of power, the powerful, the reality endowed with the power is looked upon as the intelligent cause of the universe, personified as Shiva. And when everything unmanifest, the power is one, inseparably one with the reality. When everything is unmanifest, inseparably one with the reality, then there's no differentiation of beings is not possible. Differences are not possible. When there is no manifestation, differentiation is not possible. Is it clear? Differentiation is not possible. Everything remains as one. That is why the Shiva Lingam, which you see everywhere, is called Pratika. Pratika means a limbless form. Limbless form means everything remains undifferentiated in unmanifest condition. At Vishnu temple event, all colorful, isn't it? Lots of jewelry in all hands, in all Shankar, Chakra, Gada, four hands, and all those things you saw. That is total manifestation. Vishnu stands for total manifestation. Shiva stands for when everything remains unmanifest. Okay? The power remains unmanifest in Shiva for limbless form. Because the Shiva Lingam symbolizes the undifferentiated, unmanifest universe, wherein power of reality remains inseparably one with reality. The Bana Lingam stands for intelligent cause. The Petam stands for the material cause. Inseparably one. And if the knowledge is manifest, everything is differentiated. Therefore, what the whole world is colorful, therefore it's personified as what? Vishnu and Lakshmi. Subtle manifestation, imperceptible. Saraswati and Hiranyagarbha, four-headed. One temple we had that also. We saw the murti. Anyway, I just want you to understand. Is it clear? Naham Maya. There is no power without consciousness. There is no such thing called power which enjoys independent existence of other than consciousness. Power is consciousness. But consciousness is the powerful. Don't say consciousness is not the power. Consciousness is powerful reality. But power is consciousness. But consciousness is not the power. Which means I, the knower, am consciousness distinct from the unmanifest total power of creation known by the term Maya. Okay? Which means I am not distant from power. I am the very source of power. I am distinct from the power means I am the very source, Aadhara, support. I am the very existence of the power. So consciousness is the existence of the power. Consciousness is the existence of the power, which means power is, means power enjoys existence. Power enjoys existence means, and the existence enjoyed by the power is consciousness. Is it clear? Therefore, every power is mithya, and the power, the whole universe which comes into manifestation because of the manifestation of power of consciousness also is what? Mithya. What is satyam? The reality obtaining in the form of consciousness implied by the term Brahman alone is satyam. Therefore, resolve the whole jagat into mithya, object universe, into atma, the consciousness. All that is there is only Brahma, only Atma, only the truth in the form of pure knowledge. Therefore, the whole universe is manifestation of knowledge. You can say whole universe is knowledge. You see the order now, one by one. First you have to say the whole universe is manifestation of knowledge. Then you have to say everything here is knowledge. This is called what? Before you see the world, now you see knowledge. You resolve the world, objective universe, resolve the knower and known objective universe in knowledge. When you see everything as knowledge, which has existence, everything, the world enjoys existence, means existence enjoyed by the world is consciousness. Seeing this existence being Brahman, the knowledge is what? Seeing Brahma. Before you were seeing the world, now you are seeing Brahma. You resolve the world in Brahma. Is it clear? You see the ocean first. As long as you are not shown the water, you do not see the water, you see the ocean. Having seen the water, your attention is drawn from the form ocean to the water. You resolve the ocean form in the water, you see only water. Perspective has changed, nothing has changed there. Similarly, you are seeing the world of five elemental universe, objective universe, as an overknown divisions, differences. Now how you gradually resolved all the divisions and differences, the whole world, and see everything is knowledge. Now you are seeing Brahma. What is there is world or Brahma. If you do not know what Brahman is, you say world is. If you know what Brahman is, you see Brahman is. Before you were seeing world, now you are seeing Brahma. Do you see Brahman today? In Tamil, there's a beautiful words. When you go to the temples, we'll go to some temples definitely. Of course, you're seeing all the temples. Hope you're not bored with the temples, huh? Too many visits. Okay. When you go to some temples, every temple we should have elephant, okay? The big temples have elephants. Only one temple you saw. Other temples also have elephants. They all must have gone for resting or from somewhere. They come only for a certain time, they'll take them away. See, these elephants are then every temple. Some temples they also have a temple, the stone carvings of elephants also we have. And wooden, sometimes also have wooden elephants. The big wooden, the elephant carved in wood. I mean, you see from distance, you cannot make out as a real elephant or a wooden elephant. Just because exactly it's very well carved, you see, oh, elephant. And as you walk near and near and near and go near, wood. And the whole elephant resolved in wood. before you see elephant, then you see wood. Oh, what is only wood? Similarly, we'll say, Marathai Marathadu Mamadayanai. The huge elephant form, the huge form which looked exactly like elephant, that form was hiding, covering the wood. And later on, Marathil Marindadu Mamadayanai means when you go near, touch and understand what is wood, in the wood, the elephant got resolved. Similarly, Parathai Marathadu Parmudal Bhodam, this absolute reality, ultimate truth, obtaining the subtlest, the most abstract reality, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, which alone is the existence of the whole, was covered by what? The elements and the elementals in the form of forms, names and functions. In the discovery of that reality, the pure knowledge with the pure existence, which is of the nature of limitlessness, which implies that Atma or Brahma, discovery of Brahma, the whole universe remains covered in Brahma, is resolved in Brahma. Is it clear? It's called perspective change. Before you saw world, now you see Brahma. Therefore, Naham Gandho Narupancha, Narupancha, Namayaham Nasam Sratihi,
Namayaham Nasam Sratihi.
So, na samsritihi, aham na samsritihi. Samsritihi is a feminine gender word. Samsaraha is a masculine gender word. Samsritihi, samsaraha. Samsaraha, samsritihi. We can have two different nouns, masculine gender word, feminine gender word. Both mean the same. Sam is a prefix. Sri is the dhatu. Sarati, samsarati is the verb. Transmigrates. What's the verb? Samsarati. Samsarati is the verb. Samsaraha is noun. Samsritihi is a feminine gender word. So, na aham samsaraha means I know where I am. Consciousness, the reality, which is the locus, which is the support of this life of transmigration. This manifestation and the world becoming manifest, the world becoming unmanifest, where does it happen? So waves coming and going, where does it happen? In the water. Similarly, there must be, the world becomes manifest, world becomes unmanifest. When the power of knowledge is manifest, the world becomes manifest. The power of knowledge becomes unmanifest, world becomes unmanifest. See, the power of knowledge becoming manifest is the world becoming manifest. Power of knowledge becoming unmanifest is world becoming unmanifest. Okay? But knowledge does not come and go. The power of knowledge, the manifestation is manifestation goes. Isn't it? Power of knowledge becomes manifest, becomes unmanifest. The world shines and world becomes unmanifest. That is why we say the whole universe is manifestation of knowledge. It is not creation. Absolutely, there is no creation at all. Nothing is created therefore nothing is destroyed also, which means, now tell me, consciousness is existence means, where is the non-existence? There is no such thing called non-existence at all. Now, in every manifestation also, we talk about the birth and death, and in between birth and death, going through the experience of pairs of opposites is called what? Samsara. Being born, then going through pairs of opposites, exhausting the parabdha, again falling apart, leaving the physical body, again assuming another body, again coming into existence, again going through pairs of opposites, again as fall. This being born, going through pairs of opposites, again dying, again it's a continuous. That's why life is a beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths means, it's called samsara. This samsara, where does it happen? In the reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge. There's a samsara. Therefore, I, the knower, am consciousness in which samsara, the constantly, the cycle of births and beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths constantly, now is okay, moving. Whereas I am free from samsara, I, the consciousness, am not samsaraha. First we said I am not samsari. Remember, I am not bound, we said. Now we say I am not samsaraha means what he wants to say is I, the reality, am consciousness distinct from the samsara which enjoys existence in consciousness. I, the consciousness, am I, the knower, am consciousness in which the samsara, the life of transmigration happens. Which means I, the experiencer, am distinct from the samsara, which means without the I, consciousness, there cannot be samsara. Okay, samsara itself happens in me means I am not samsari, I am not samsaraha. Samsara is I, consciousness. What is samsaraha? The whole life of transmigration is consciousness. Manifestation of knowledge is samsara. Is it clear now? You resolve the very samsara. First you resolve the samsari status attributed to I. What did we do before? Before you resolved the erroneous notion of the self, that samsari status superimposed upon the I has been resolved before. Now you are resolving the very samsara. Seeing yourself being the consciousness distinct from samsara. Do you see the difference between aham na samsari? You have to say naham samsaraha. Now you say. Very important to see this. That's samsatihi. Okay, then what am I? If I'm not all these things, what am I? I'm not samsaraha. I, the knower, am distinct from the known samsaraha. I am not means, what does it mean? I am distinct. I am distinct means I am the source. I am the support. I am the substratum. I am free from. So, I, the knower, am consciousness, distinct from known samsara. I am not the samsaraha. I am not Maya. I am not any of the objects. Now we say, what am I now? Sada Sak Sakshiswarupatvat. First he said many times, Aham Vishnu, Aham Vishnu, Aham Vishnu, Aham Harihi. Shankar must have thought, maybe there will be some people like Dr. Shiva, will be very upset. So he says, Shiva Eva Asmi Kevala. He changed the name Shiva Eva Asmi Kevala. Sakshi Swarupatvat. He says, I'm not simply telling you what I am. I'm not simply telling you, you know, because of my nature, because of my Swarupam being the Sakshi, being the Sakshi, Sakshi Swarupatvat. I, the Self, am of the nature of being the witness. Who asked me witness? Sakshi. Sarthaka was asking. I, the Self, am of the nature of being the witness. Witnessing is not an action. Just as knowing is not an action, witnessing also is not an action here. The absolute witness. Who is the absolute witness here? We say he is the witness. No, I gave him money, Sachin. He doesn't refuses to give me. He is the witness. Means what? There, this act, okay? But here, when you say the absolute witness of all the experiences. All the experience means state of mind. Okay? And state of mind means subject to change. And change means there must be a changeless adhara, substratum for the changes to happen. Isn't it? And what is the changeless support here? What a changeless thing is the reality? What is the form? Abstract, subtlest consciousness is the changeless reality in which the experiences in the form of changes, okay, constantly happen. Is it clear now? Therefore, and because, how do you say Sakshi Swarupam? Because the states of mind are undergoing changes. The states of mind being this, each and every state of my experience being discontinuous is witnessed. And is it clear now? And every state of mind being all the states of mind being mutually exclusive is witnessed. States of experience, okay? States of experience being mutually exclusive is witnessed. Each and every state of mind being discontinuous is witnessed. Which means there must be witness. And who is the witness? Who is the knower? Exactly like knower, okay? The witness is consciousness. Why does consciousness witness? Why can't it keep quiet? It does keep quiet, okay? The only quiet witness is consciousness. That is why you are the witness of all your thoughts. Manasaha Sakshi is you. That is why we say what? Your own conscience. Consciousness is the conscience here. In fact, consciousness is not the conscience, but the conscience is consciousness. So you are you are consciousness. You have to say, I cannot be placed anywhere. Everything is negated as an object of knowledge. And what cannot be negated as object of knowledge is the knower, the subject, and that I has a place only in that subject, and the knower is consciousness. And you understand, knower also is a status, the qualification attributed. There is no real knower or anything. Similarly, witness also, witnessing is the swarupam. Why does consciousness witness there? Is the witness. Witnessing is the nature. Just as knowing is the swarupam, that's why witnessing is the swarupam. Being conscious, being aware, knowing, witnessing is the nature of the reality. Therefore, reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Therefore, we say, I the reality, I the knower, am of the nature of witnessing, or nature of being a witness. I the knower am of the nature of being the witness. Because of the nature of being the witness, because of the nature of being the witness, Sakshi Swarupatvat Shivaha Kevalaha Aham. I, the Self, am only pure knowledge, which is of the nature of auspiciousness. Which auspiciousness means which is free from sorrow, which is free from sorrow. I am Kevalaha Shivaha, means what? I, the Self, am merely Shivaha. Mere Shivaha means what? No, pure knowledge, which is of the nature of auspiciousness. I, the Self, am the reality, the consciousness, which is of the nature of auspiciousness. Because, why do we say? Because of the nature of being the witness. I am not everything. First, negating everything, not what I am not. Last one line, he says, what I am. Last one line says, what I am. Rest of the lines negate, say, what I am not. Okay, first, how does Vedanta Shastram or in Upanishads, how does any Upanishad reveal your Swarupam, reveal the truth? If anybody asks the question, you have to give the answer like this. First, any Upanishad and every Upanishad makes us understand what I is not. Then it helps us arrive at, stumble upon what I am. When everything is negated as what I am not, then helplessly you will stumble upon what you are. You are not helpless. Choicelessly you stumble upon what you are. Okay, is it clear? Okay, see that now. Let's read this and we'll stop. So until, see, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, first line, in all the lines, negation of how, what I is not, what the Self is not is said. The last line, what I am, is said. Whenever this negation of what I am not, please understand, it is not to say what I am not, it is to say that I am distinct. Not to say I am not means I am distinct. Distinct means I am not distant. I am not distant means there is nothing which is other than me. There is a very important lesson. Nobody tells this.
These are very subtle things we have to remember. Is it clear? I know, I have to stop. It's time to stop. You're full, class is full now, isn't it? Sada Sakshi Swarupam. See, Sakshi Swarupam means what? The nature is, being the Sakshi is the nature. Swarupatvat means the noun here. Sakshi Swarupatvam means because of this enjoying the status of being the witness. Because of the status, because of enjoying the status of being the witness, because status of being the witness, Shivaha Yeva Asmi Kevalaha. See, Kevalaha means only, okay? Shivaha Yeva Asmi Kevalaha means, Kevalaha implies pure, okay? I the knower am nothing but pure, abstract reality, the consciousness which is of the nature of auspiciousness. Okay? So, being the witness is the nature of consciousness. So, being the witness implies what? Being the knower. Knowing is the swarupam of the reality. That's why reality is always arrived at in terms of its nature of being the witness or knowledge. That is why the word knowledge is used to imply the reality. Is it clear? Okay. Read the verse and start. Naham gandho narupancha.
Naham gandho
narupancha. Namayaham nasam srutihi.
Sada
Sakshi
Swarupatvat. Sada Sakshi Swarupatvat.
Shiva Eva Asmi Kevalaha.
Shiva Eva Asmi Kevalaha.
I wanted to learn both ways, okay? Sada Sakshi Swarupatvat Shiva Eva Asmi Kevalaha.
Sada Sakshi Swarupatvat Shiva Eva Asmi Kevalaha.
If you break it, Sada Sakshi Swarupatvat Shivaha Eva Asmi Kevalaha. See, Shiva Visarga as it gets stopped. Shiva Eva Asmi Kevalaha. Shiva Eva Asmi Kevalaha. See, Swarupatvat is the fifth case, isn't it? Because of enjoying the status of being the Swarupam, I am mere consciousness. I am the reality consciousness which is of the nature of auspiciousness, which is free from all forms of problems. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.